Good morning, brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. I'd like you to say that to your soul. My Lord is alive. He is risen. And I want you to welcome your neighbor in the presence of the Lord and tell him that Jesus Christ is risen. And he is coming. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, I would like to invite you to open it in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. This is the basis of our exhortation today. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Very familiar verse to many Christians, and I will read it. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. This is God's declaration for you and me this morning. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for your welfare, not for your disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. God has plans. He doesn't have a plan. God has plans. Hallelujah. There is room for you. God has plans. I don't know what plan you are following right now. What is the plan? How you are planning your life? I don't know how far your plans are working. But this morning, I want to tell you that God has plans for you. Hallelujah. Whether you are a new follower of Jesus Christ, like my handsome brothers and beautiful sisters this morning, or if you are an old follower of Jesus Christ, like my elder brother Christian, we need to know that becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is not our own initiative. Yes, we accepted Jesus Christ in our life and we say, Jesus, come into my life, I receive you. But this is God's plan. He's the one who initiated this plan. Jesus said to his disciple in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Hallelujah. God chose you before you choose him. He chose you. Hallelujah. And again, Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Hallelujah. So we came to Jesus, but it's actually God who drew us to Jesus. So it is God's plan from the beginning. And we need to remember that. And because it is God's plan, it means that God is not in the process of trial and errors. There's no hesitation in what God is doing. He has planned everything beforehand. So you may have your plan. Lord, I come to you. But you have, of course, all of us here have desires, we have plans, there are things that we hope for ourselves, for our families, and so on. But brothers and sisters, a disciple of Jesus is somebody who is like Peter, who had prepared his career to be a fisherman. But once he encounters Jesus, he gives up his plans. The Bible says Peter dropped his net and followed Jesus. So a disciple is somebody who has met Jesus. He had his plans, but he has found in Jesus Christ a better future. So much better. Then he realizes that if I stick on my plans, I'm going to be lost. So I better give them up. God's plan for me is better than my plans. That's the disciple of Jesus. Have you dropped your plans? Est-ce que vous avez abandonné vos plans? Yes. We sang here, I'm lost without you. That's what we sang in this song. Without you, Jesus, I'm lost. This is the reason why somebody like Zacchaeus, though wealthy, very comfortable, but when he met Jesus, all his plans changed. I don't know what plan you are following right now, if you are a disciple of Jesus. The problem with many Christians today, one of the big problems with many Christians, is to think and act as if God is accompanying us. You see? God is not accompanying us. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. The sheep does not lead the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. Hallelujah. So for you and I, there is a direction to follow. It doesn't matter whether you are going fast, because sometimes we look at our neighbors, our colleagues, our sisters and brothers. We think they are ahead of us. You look at your young sister, all your young sisters are getting married, and you feel you are late. That's the problem. God has plans. You see, you can be ahead of everybody, but in the wrong direction. Before you start running, make sure you are in God's plan. Because you can even reach, but at the wrong door. Hallelujah. God will certainly accomplish his plans and his decreed for you and me. Job said, John 23, verse 14, you can write it down. He says, I will certainly accomplish what I decreed for you. And God has many more things like these in mind. Many, not one, many more. Hallelujah. The problem, one of the reasons why many Christians don't give up their plans, it's because we think that God's plans and what He says about our lives is unrealistic. You see? When Jesus spoke to Peter and said, I'll make you a fisher of men. You know, turning a fisherman into an apostle, from a fisherman's perspective, it's quite unrealistic. You see? Why is it unrealistic? You know, at some point, even Peter asked Jesus, so now we have decided to follow you, and we have gave up everything. What will we get? Right? Yeah. He wanted to make sense practically of Jesus' calling. Maybe you are at this point, you wonder, where this Jesus is calling me, is it realistic if I decide to serve him? Practically, yes, we know what the Bible says, but it is not practical. Have you ever heard Christians say things like that? It's not practical. Practical, what does it mean? We want God to be realistic. So when we don't find God's plans realistic, we try to find shortcuts. No? Meanwhile, as God is still working on his plan, let's find something practical, realistic. So we give up on God's plan. And the other reason is, by the way, God's plans is hardly realistic. Are hardly realistic. They are even impossible. The Holy Spirit was not given to us to do things that we can do by ourselves. Hallelujah. Yes. So if you find yourself planning and say, okay, you are just doing things that you can do yourself with your skills, your mind, your degree, your experience, and that's how you're living. You are not living by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, because he will let you do the things you feel you are capable of doing. But when it comes to God's plan, it is impossible. Hallelujah. That is the reason after God accomplishes his plan, we give him the glory. We sing praises to him. Because we know that if it was just our own strength, what we had planned, our resources, we wouldn't make it. Hallelujah. So don't expect God to make sense. Don't expect God's plans for you to make sense. Just know it's a plan. There are plans for your future, for your welfare. So there's one big problem with us disciples of Jesus. When we open the Bible, we try to discover what God says about our lives, and we read a lot of scriptures like this. If anyone is in Christ, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed. And look, new things have come. The Bible says, I'm a new creation. But when I look at my life, sometimes I will find myself in the old things I repented from. How come I'm a new creation and I'm still doing the old things I used to do before? I've repented, I've confessed, they have prayed for me, but I'm still in those things. We read words like, I'm the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the dark, but will have the light of life. That is Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12. If Jesus is my light, how come I'm so confused about my future, about my career, about my relationships, about my children? I don't see any light, any direction. Jeremiah says, God says through Jeremiah, I have plans for you, good ones, for your welfare. But what I'm living right now, is it welfare? Maybe what you're experiencing is a disaster. So because of that, you see that your experience is not matching with what God says about you, with God is revealing about his plans for you. You feel a disconnection between the Bible and your life experience. There will be times like that in our walk with the Lord. There is a sense of disconnection, a gap between God's plan and the experience of the disciple. And then you wonder, how can I make disciples if even my own life is not attractive? How can people listen to somebody who is not a manifestation of what God says? And because of that, many Christians, many disciples feel unqualified to respond to the calling of making disciples. We wait until we feel like we're experiencing God's plan and word in our life. I have a friend who had the opportunity to attend a conference in a foreign country. This friend was not familiar with computers. So he and his colleagues were accommodated in a room for all the duration of the conference. And the program of the conference was kept in the computer in their room. So he entered the room. He saw the computer. And he had seen in his neighbor's room, he had seen his neighbor working on his computer. And then after dropping his luggage, he tried to access the program. He went on the keyboard, started to type on all the keys, but nothing will come up on the screen. He tried for the whole night. The following day in the morning, he was supposed to know the location, the conference room number, and so on. So he had to go to his neighbor and say, man, I was not able to access the program. Can you? No, it's in your computer. Yes, I've tried, but it's not working. And the neighbor came in. And he looked, he saw the power cable was not plugged in. He plugged the cable and he pushed the power button and he could see the computer on. Wonderful. Many Christians, we are just like this brother of mine, this friend of mine. We don't have an equipment problem. We have a power problem. God's plan for us is the equipment. You are a new creation. You are seated in heaven with Jesus. You are the top, the head, not the tail. We read all those things, we hear them Sunday after Sunday. And when we get back home, It's not working. Hallelujah. How come it's not working? You have a power problem. Have you connected yourself to the power, the source of power? Hallelujah. As long as we stay connected to the power, the source of power, we will experience God's plan in our life. We connect to prayer. We connect to the meditation of God's word. We connect through fellowship with the believer. Jesus was one with the Father, but he spent extensive time in prayer on a regular basis. Though he was one with the Father. In fact, you wonder, where did Jesus need to pray? He was one with the Father, but he would spend time connected to the Father. Jesus was the reason people was going to the temple. People were going to the temple to find God. That same God who was Jesus. People would go to the temple to seek him. But Jesus will not say, because I'm the one they are going to seek, so I'm going to stay out of the temple so they will come to me. No, he will go to the temple. Hallelujah. Though he was the one people were looking for. Stay connected. Let's pray. Have you submitted? Have you given up on your plans? That's the starting point. If you have not done that, just want to tell God right now, without you, I'm lost. I want to turn away from my own plans and begin to trust you. Because your plans are better than mine. Maybe you have given up on your plans, but you see that God's plans are not working for you. Are you connected? Maybe you feel right now that you have remained disconnected for a long time. When was the last time God saw you in his presence? Seeking for him, thirsting for him, hunger for him. Speak to your God this morning. I'd like to invite Pastor Badesire to pray for you. And if you feel like you need to be upstanding, you want to make a step openly, express your prayer by standing up, you can stand up. God knows what is in your heart. And he will attend to you this morning. Let's pray. Savior, I surrender.
God our Father, our Lord and our King, the owner of our lives. Thanks to you for this big opportunity that you've granted to us to listen to your word. And you've taught to us that we should surrender all our plans to you, our King. We need you. Take control in our hearts, in the heart of my brother and my sister, who is in need of you all his life. Lord, our King, take place in our hearts. We need you in all our journey, so that we can do what you are expecting from us. This young man, this father who's coming to you and dropping all his plans before your hands, Lord, take control over his life. We thank you so much, Father, for your word. May your word keep us safe and faithful to you from now to the end of the age. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen.